So that's a big thing that people, what is a charitable contribution, right? And those who were here Sunday, I apologize for repeating myself, but you know, there's basically four definitions that we come up with, and nothing new, but you know, you've got the tax deduction, right? Now, I don't know if there's anybody out there who has to worry about accounting, but you got the accounting. What's FASB? What's GASB? What do they say a gift is, right? So that could be different, right? And probably one of the ones that comes up more often than the accounting one is, well, are we going to give them gift credit for this gift? And as many of you know, giving someone gift credit has absolutely nothing to do with whether you get a tax deduction. Sean's a lawyer. He donated 10 hours of his time last month. Most common one on campus, car dealers. Anybody get free use of cars?
Coaches.
Sure. You have a real estate developer who's a donor. Everybody has one or multiple real estate developers as donors, and they have office space, and it's 2010, and it's sitting there idle, and they're saying, hey, would you like to put a development officer in Cleveland? Sure. Well, we'll give you a whole floor of a building, and that rent's $10,000 a month, and we're waiving it for you. We get a deduction, right? Well, no, you're not getting a deduction. It's a partial interest gift. You're no deduction. But we'll give you gift credit. What's that mean? Well, you'll get your name on the wall with all the people who've donated at least this amount of money or whatever, right? Or also important, do any of your universities care about your ranking? You're like, I don't know. Talk to your academic side. They care. What's one of the factors in your ranking? How many donors you have and how much they have given you. That's one of the things that U.S. News and World Report wants to know. And so you may have a gift that you can count under the case counting guidelines. You have a qualified sponsorship payment. A bank happens to give you $25 million, hypothetically speaking, or actually speaking. And you go through and you value everything that they're getting, right? And you have money left over, the qualified sponsorship payment. It's not a charitable contribution because they're getting the benefit of being the official bank of the Ohio State University. But there might be $10 million that counts for case counting guidelines. And so for this year's report, we raised $10 million from a corporate gift. We didn't receive a charitable contribution. I don't know what it is for accounting purposes, but it's not a tax deduction gift. It's, a business expense for the corporation, more than likely.
Right.
But it counts for case, and you can give gift credit to the donor if you'd like.
So all of us, just to recognize that we're talking about certain tax rules, but not at least 1 year goes by when I get a call from a development officer who asks, can I give gift credit for that? And I say,
give it.
Whatever you want to do, but that's not a tax issue. The question is whether this condition, this string, whether the academic center is operated as an academic center. If it doesn't, it reverts to the donor. Is that or is that not too much of a string or condition on the gift as to make it completed or not? So then the question becomes, what is the tax standard that applies? Which, if you press the button...
Yes, I will.
...will tell you. It's the per the regulation, the standard is whether the likelihood that the condition occurring is so remote as to be negligible, then the gift is complete. Of course, I always have development officers who tell me, that will never happen. Whatever the condition is that the donor wants to impose, it's sort of their first reaction. But you have to take an objective, independent, fair view of whatever that condition is and really evaluate it and decide if it's something that is possible to happen. You know, it's a comfort level. It's a risk tolerance approach. But whatever the decision is, if you want to accept certain conditions and strings, document it. My institution uses a very popular program, the Advance database system. Started using it in the late 90s, which has been very helpful because we really do retain any type of donor communications, internal emails. Documenting those kind of things, whatever system you use, whatever method you use, be sure to keep track of exactly why you think at that time that whatever that condition is so remote as to be unlikely to occur.
And I think this problem comes up if the donor is expecting the gift back. In our last slide, it was going to another C3, so that should probably work okay. But it's when they're getting it back that's the real problem.
We have a policy, too, that we do not, I mean, we flat out don't allow reversions
to
transfers over.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you that is another rule that has been with certain donors modified. I usually add a phrase in there that says, so long as it's permitted under applicable law, because, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a certain statute that applies in every state. State attorney generals are considered a surrogate for the public if your nonprofit is organized in that state. So whenever there's modifications to gift agreements, something significant, our attorney general has a public interest division, and we have to report and have oversight by the AG's office, even as a private institution, and we get no action letters if they agree with the approach we take. So my fear is somewhere down the road, a multi-million dollar gift to fund a center, the donor doesn't like what's happening, wants the money back, or wants it to go to another charity, I would enlist our attorney general to make sure we could do that.